Welcome back for another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I hope your weekend was fantastic. I am Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus laser focused on investing in real estate for buy and hold properties to create passive income for our families. We're not talking about wholesaling real estate. We're not talking about flipping houses. We're not talking about any other strategies, land development, raw land, anything. We're talking about buying rental properties that are producing fantastic returns and holding them for the rest of our lives. To me, it's the ultimate way to create legacy wealth for our families. And I've tried a lot of things in my life. This is the way. So that's what this podcast is all about. You know, when I first got started in real estate investing, I think the things that held me back were jargon, the talk, right? The way that real estate investors would talk to each other. I didn't quite understand some of the things that they were even saying, the jargon, the insider's language on how to understand real estate investing. You felt like a bit of an outsider when people were using all these different terms and phrases and things like that. So today's episode, I wanted to talk about the understanding real estate jargon 101. These are some basics. And I know that these are basic questions because I ask people on the phone, investors, when we talk to them, I ask them, you know, what is the ROI of your property that you have? Maybe they have their rental property that they lived in and they moved, and so they held on to this property and they think it's a good investment. So I'll ask them what their ROI is, and they'll ask me back, they'll say, what does that mean? Or I'll ask them, you know, what is the cash on cash return on the property? And they give me some answer that doesn't make any sense. So I know that they don't even understand the question. Or I ask them, you know, well, what's the CapEx on that property? And they don't know how to answer it. I ask them what the rent roll is. And they'll say something like, oh, do you mean like the monthly rent? You know, so those types of questions I know are basic, and they might seem basic to a lot of people, but if you know them, it's worth a refresher. And if you don't know them, it can really trip you up. It can really keep you from taking action in real estate investing because you can feel like it's out of your, you know, it's out of bounds for you, or like you're not in the cool club for understanding this language. And that's total garbage. You all have the power to dive into rental real estate. And so don't let some of these terms hold you back. So today, it's a little bit of a lesson, a little 101 lesson on real estate jargon. I want to start off with the most important jargon thing of all, which is ROI, or return on investment. Now, different people have a different way of figuring out this formula. We're going to spend a whole episode going into exactly how we figure it out, so I won't belabor that here. But I really want to just talk about, in general, the term return on investment, ROI. What is the overall return on investment? And for us, basically, we're figuring it out by monthly rent times 12, and then we take out 40% for vacancy, repairs, and expenses, and then we divide it by the all-in cost of the house. And that's our return on investment. How much money are we putting in and how much are we getting out? Very, very simple. And let's talk now about the cash on cash return, because that's very tight. So that's really the second piece of jargon. So when someone says, you know, what's the COC? What's the COC? And they try to sound all cool for, you know, knowing the little abbreviations. What all they're asking is, what is the cash on cash return? What does that mean? Okay. If I buy, for instance, one of my houses for $40,000 and I pay $40,000 in cash, what is the cash on cash return that I should expect to see from that property? Okay. So in a situation where it's renting, I'm going to just pull up a formula right here in front of us right now. So let's say I'm buying a house for $40,000 and it rents for $800 a month. Okay. And I paid cash for that $40,000. Okay. I didn't finance it or get private money, and I only put 10 of my own money into it, because then that number will change. But how much cash did you put in and how much cash are you getting out? That's exactly what it means. Cash in, cash out. What is the cash on cash return for that property? So let's say $40,000, $800 a month in rent, 800 times 12. And then we want to multiply that times 0.6 divided by 40,000. That's a 14% cash on cash return for that particular example. Renting for $800 a month, removing 40% for vacancy and repairs, and the all-in cost of the house being $40,000. That's a 14% cash-on-cash return. Now, let's say I only paid 20 for that house, right, because I'm financing the rest, or maybe another partner put money into it. Then that number is going to obviously shift, right? But the bottom line is, what cash should I put in? What cash can I expect to get back out? The next one that people love to use all the time, investors throw this term around quite a bit. It's called CapEx. If you hear CapEx, what is CapEx? CapEx simply is a capital expenditure. And basically, it just means that it's in accounting parlance, is when you talk to an accountant, it's just considered to be a capital expenditure when the asset is newly purchased capital asset, or an investment that sort of improves the life of the existing asset. What does that mean? Well, if you renovate a house, that's your capital expenditures, or you buy a tractor for your company, that's a capital expenditure, right? So people will often ask, well, should I set aside some money in CapEx for 10 years from now when I need to replace a roof or a water heater 15 years from now or 20 years from now? How much should I set aside for CapEx is a common question you might think and consider. You may want to set aside a good rule of thumb for a lot of investors who own apartment complexes and things like that is to set aside 15% of their overall income from rent. Set that aside in a capital expenditure account. Totally up to you. For me, I don't do that. Call me ignorant. Call me whatever you want. My wife and I simply don't set aside money for capital expenses. Because on every one of the houses that I do, we almost do a full renovation on the house. So if it needs a new roof, we'll put a new roof on it. We put in brand new windows, new furnace, new water heater, new flooring, new carpet, new bathroom, new toilet, new tile floors, new kitchen, new cabinets, new PEX plumbing throughout the whole house, new electrical through the whole house. So now I've got a rock solid house for 15 to 20 years. So am I going to take 15% out of my monthly rent? So 15 or 20 years from now when I have to replace a furnace and I have to spend, I don't know, $1,800 on a furnace 20 years from now? No, I'm just going to come out of pocket and buy that furnace in 20 years for that amount of money. I'll put it on our business credit card and I'll pay it off. That's just how I do it. You can do it differently. I know people that own many, many apartment complexes. Then that's a different scenario because you're obviously going to have bigger capital expenditures to deal with as furnaces and things like that are changing and all of that, different water meters and everything. I just don't deal with that. Frankly, my houses are so affordable in that price range that I don't set aside a big chunk for a CapEx. But again, that's what that is, a capital expenditure on your asset. Next is rent roll. What is the rent roll for a property? Really, it's just basically a rent roll is, first of all, a registered amount of rents on a property, the names of the tenants, and also the amount that is due. So let's say you were buying a 100-unit apartment complex, for instance. You would ask before you bought that property from the previous owner, you'd ask for the rent roll, right? You'd ask to see what that building is bringing in as an example rent roll. You want to look at those numbers. So you can see that, oh, Tom Jackson, and here's his phone number, and his monthly rent is $750, and he moved in on this date, and his lease is up on this date. That's a typical rent roll. So if I'm buying a property or I ask someone what their rent roll is on that property, I want to know what their annual rent is going to be. Well, that property brings in $10,000 a year. That's the rent roll on that particular property. It covers the whole year. I then know how I can plan ahead as I'm diving into my numbers. Is this a good investment for me? You want to understand your rent roll and you want to understand all of those expenses. Is the tenant paying utilities or are you paying the utilities? That will, of course, get factored into how the rent roll breaks down on that property. In all of my properties, the tenants pay all utilities, so that's not something that I worry about. And they're also responsible for snow removal and lawn care, so I don't pay any utilities, which is another thing to consider when you're investing. And finally, the last piece of jargon I wanted to cover today is tenant turnover. And often I will say this to investors, new investors, and I'll say tenant turnover is simply when a tenant's lease is up in a property and they move out. And that gap from getting a new rent, a new tenant, from when the old tenant leaves. And for me, we do our tenant turnovers very quickly. We use the same materials in all of our properties. So we're putting in the same paint, new carpet, patching drywall and paint and all that good stuff. So we know exactly what we can do, and we do it very fast. So on a tenant turnover, for me, we can have a tenant turned over very quickly. We can get in, we can get out, and have it rented again in a few short weeks. And that is a tenant turnover. It shouldn't take very long. But, of course, a tenant turnover is something you want to consider in your 40% that you're removing for vacancy repairs and expenses, right? Vacancy. You want to figure tenant turnover in your overall ROI formula. That's all that means. Tenant turnover is a tenant is out. My team gets in there, paint, carpet, drywall, fix up stuff, get it all ready, make sure we're all good to go, and a new tenant moving into the property. So there you go. To recap, ROI, return on investment, cash on cash return, the amount of cash you spent on the property, and what is the cash return you can expect on the outside of that property. And then your capital expenses. What is CapEx? Of course, it's just an expense on the asset, newly purchased asset, or an investment that improves the life of the existing asset. Your rent roll. What is the annual rent roll on this property going to look like, or what has it currently been rented for 5 years if you're purchasing a property? What will it look like? And then your tenant turnover, finally. You know, how much does it cost to do a tenant turnover? How long does your tenant turnover usually take? Good questions to ask. If you're purchasing a property for the first time. So I hope this was helpful. I mean, honestly, these were some things. I tell you what, cash on cash return, it took me a long time to understand that. I don't want it to trip anybody else up, but that it really did. It held me up because I was like, what do they mean when they're saying cash on cash return? What is that? They sound all fancy pants when they talk. And I can't stand pretentiousness in investing of any kind. So I want to level the playing field for everybody. I hope to see you back here again on Wednesday. We've got another great episode this coming Wednesday. Don't miss it, because we have got our first episode with Susan Lassiter Lyons and the power of private money. You've probably heard me talk about Susan. This woman is a rock star. She has done over $800 million in real estate deals. Private money. It's her thing. She's going to teach you how to acquire and get private money. She's got a great course as well on private money and a fantastic book on it. She is really... She's just an amazing human being. I can't speak highly of her enough, quite honestly. Don't miss Wednesday's episode with Susan. And if you are interested in booking a call with our team to take things to the next level, you're interested in picking up your first rental property, go ahead, book a call with our team. Just go to morrisinvest.com, click on the book a call tab, and I'm happy to jump on the phone with you and talk rental real estate. It's what I'm passionate about, and I hope you will be passionate about it as well. It's the only true way to build long-term legacy wealth for your family. Passive income coming into your bank account every month while you are, you know, doing your passion projects or working on that old car in the garage or sitting on the beach. That is the power of passive income. Have a great week, everyone. I love doing these shows, and I love all the amazing feedback. You guys are so kind, and it really just means the world to me. Thanks so much, everyone. Much love to you. We'll see you back here next time.